Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by Justin Kamara. I don't know why I just botched that. I always botch everyone's name. Jets content creator, got a million different things on TikTok, you know, YouTube, Twitter, the whole nine yards. How are we doing today, man?
Good, Will. I appreciate you having me on. It's been an honor to be doing making some appearances on Jet content creator shows. And our content fan base has the best content creators. It's a wide range of talent. So kudos to you and what you've been able to build here and contribute. So just happy to be here and happy to still be talking about relevant football.
Yeah, I know. It's something that it feels like, you know, we're recording this Monday night. It feels like kind of getting second to, you know, sit, take a deep breath after yesterday. Look, I think going into the game, I don't know anybody that picked the Jets. Even, you know, they were obviously double digit underdogs. They're on the road against the number one seed in the league and number one seed in the AFC. And, you know, they make it a close game. You know, it kind of feels like they maybe should have won the game yesterday. If you really go back at it, they obviously a lot of things go wrong, you know, injury wise, calls, the whole nine yards, mistakes. Well, I guess what your overall takeaway from yesterday, because it just feels like a game that the discourse is not matching what I think we saw, you know, kind of play out.
Overall, the last 2 weeks, I've been coming away from the losses a little bit easier than I would have before. The Patriot losses obviously pissed me off the most, because you just feel like that's one you cannot lose. But when you play against the Vikings and you play against the Bills, and we know that we have a good football team, and we see the team battling the way that they did to the very, very end, just giving themselves a chance in the fourth quarter is all we could ask for. I've been taking the losses a lot lighter than I have in the past. And I think that just goes to show how good this team has been. And we can walk away feeling like we were right there and just a couple plays away.
Yeah, look, I think it's frustrating because you look at the injury to Q, you look at Mike White getting decapitated, you look at Corey Davis going out, you know, early in that game, George Fant missed a period of time. To hold Josh Allen 145, 147 yards, whatever it is, not getting that turnover, I do think it did suck. And, you know, you obviously don't see, you know, you see the Flacco fumble, which was really hard to watch, to be honest with you. That fumble, and we'll get into the Zach and Mike White stuff here in a second, but that's one of those reasons where, as much as I agreed with Zach being inactive initially, having to have Joe Flacco in a game at any point right now is just not feasible. And I think that'll change this week. We heard solid today. It feels like Zach's going to be the number two kind of going forward. The Michael Carter fumble was the killer for me, though. I think that's the difference in the game. I know everyone will point to Mosley's penalty. Again, I understand what he was trying to do. Just the risk reward to me was not worth it. Like, you stopped them there, that's great. But the penalty was just, they were never going to snap that. And, you know, if the Bills gain 1 yard there, are we sure they score? Maybe not. Getting that penalty was a total momentum shift. The crowd got re-energized. It sucked. But the Carter fumble, it's 29. Mike White's back in the game. The Jets have all the momentum. They just got to stop. They're driving, moving the ball right down the field. And that fumble, not only that, takes multiple time, multiple minutes off the clock. You know, there's a real chance the Jets are 20-16, even 20-12, 20-17, 6 minutes to go, all the momentum. They're winning that football game.
I feel like that too.
So I guess, how do you feel like Mike White played yesterday? Because I thought he was fine. I don't know. I thought he was fine. Like, I don't think he was any bad performance by any sense.
I thought he was fine as well. I think he does this tendency of getting off of his reads really well and getting right to that check down, which doesn't hurt because it's still a positive play. But early in that first drive, they showed the replay that he had Elijah Moore running straight down to the end zone. If he would maybe stuck to that read a split second longer, maybe he'd rip that, and that's a big play to start. But overall, he's been fine. I don't think he had any throws that were really dangerous that you'd say, what the hell was he throwing there? I do think the injuries did affect his ability to staying in the pocket a little bit longer and ripping some throws. Because when they came out that second half, I thought it was going to be a completely different game. And once he got folded in that second half, I literally said folded, like Wonder Bread in the back of the shelf. I think it changed the whole energy around the team. You know, the Bills strike back, it's 14-7. And you know what? We were probably moving down to try to get back to score. He gets folded. Flacco comes in, and it just really snowballed from there. I think the Flacco backup days are finally over. I think the Jets really realized that. Like, Zach at least has a pulse. And if something goes down, he has that ability to make a play or extend a play with his feet and with his regular talent. But Flacco there, that just deflated us bad. And I think overall, if Mike was a little bit more protected, I think he probably has a really strong second half because he looked pretty good. He's making a lot of throws to the sideline, making some smart reads.
Yeah, look, I thought, the two sacks he took, we'd love to see him get rid of the ball. He had one or two balls batted down. I pointed to the throw, the second to last throw of the game. I felt like he rusted a little bit. Again, there was pressure there. He'd been getting murdered, so you get it. Still put up some decent numbers. Thought he had made some really impressive throws. The one to Elijah where he got folded at the beginning. The throw after he came in to Garrett Wilson, far out hash. I thought it was a nice throw. Made some other ones that was impressive as well. I just feel like there's a coolness, a calmness to him in the pocket. And again, I know people point to the red zone. The Jets were in the red zone twice, it feels like. And or three times, I guess, whatever. They fumbled once.
Yeah.
They scored the other time. And then, third and two. Don't love the play call there. But at the same time, I don't know what the actual reads were, right? We don't know, was Garrett Wilson the initial read and not open? And so he went to Berrios there. Did you agree with kicking it there down 20-9, or did you think they should have gone for it?
I felt like they should have gone for it because you don't know if you're going to get that close. Again, if you get a touchdown there, you're obviously down at worst. You don't get the 2-point conversion there. Was it 9? It's 20-17 or it's 20-16. You may still have to get a touchdown, but if you do get the 2-point there, you don't have to go the length of the field. I think the Jets got the ball on the 25, 30-yard line. A 30-yard play or two quick strikes to the sideline, and you're in Greg Zuerlein distance. So I would have went for the touchdown. I mean, at that point, I feel like the field goal was a little bit conservative. It kind of gave me Todd Bowles vibes a little bit. But, the Jets are still learning how to manage the clock late in the game, and for the most part, they have handled it pretty well. They got the ball back again in the Vikings game, managing their timeouts, and they gave themselves a chance. So, I mean, I think it could have worked out either way, but I think they wanted to make sure they got some points and they felt like they could get the ball back again with enough time.
Yeah. And I mean, look, they ended up getting the ball back at 46 seconds. It just, to your point, I guess the reasoning for kicking there would be if you don't get that, the game's over, right? Like you're done. So the hope is, we get points here, get the ball back. It worked. But obviously, again, it was unfortunate. Kind of the last drive felt like the second that there was an incompletion on first and second down, it was like, oh, this is going to be tough here.
Yeah.
But again, obviously it's a loss that hurts, but I don't think it's kind of season ending. Do you still think Mike White's, the right quarterback for the team? Are you one of the Zach truthers that's like, oh, he's 5-2 and QB wins are the most important stat? But
historically,
John Warfer got a QB win, by the way, on Thursday, three plays, just for context.
Right. Historically, I've always been like attached to the Jet quarterbacks, but I've already been a Jet fan long enough and seen enough quarterbacks where I'm not going to die on a hill with anybody. As much as I like Zach as a prospect still, and I feel like he's still unknown, can't put him in reasonably right now with Mike White playing. He's played fine enough for us to win. He's a couple of plays away, really, between these Jet games. New England was one play. Minnesota, one play last week. This play was, this game was a couple of plays about the Mosley 4th-and-1, the fumble, the other fumble by Michael Carter. Mike's the guy. Mike's deserved a shot to be the quarterback the rest of the season. He just, and the way the team just rallies around him is something else. I mean, after that game with the beating that he took yesterday, to see him keep going in there, that guys rally around that. That's infectious. And you know what? That's something that you can't just cast away to the side. Like, playoff football, Northeast football, you want to be a winning team. You want a guy that's willing to literally die on the field for his team. And barring an injury where he's out, where I don't think they're going to see Zach, but put him in the second spot. But Mike's got – it's either Mike or Zach down the stretch, and it's going to be Mike.
Yeah, Flacco should not be playing. And, again, I'm all in favor of Zach being the backup. I think we're having a little bit of revisionist history sometimes when people talk about, you know, go back to that Green Bay game. Zach was really bad. You know, everyone talks about how great the Packers are not good. The Steelers are very bad. Like, looking back at it, like – those are not games. I mean, the game Jets won, and the Steelers game, Zach had a really nice fourth quarter, and I'm not taking anything away from him. But I think we all objectively can be honest. The first half, first three quarters of that game outside the first drive was pretty bad. The interceptions were not pretty, and it was fine. First game back, you let it go. You know, Denver's a really good defense, but you know, other teams have put up numbers on Denver, you know, it seems like a little bit recently, and, you know, obviously it's a different game, but, you know, wasn't great in that game. So again, you cut him some slack, hard defense. You know, Miami game, sure, he was fine. You know, he threw for 230 yards, and most of it was on one play, and, you know, had no passing. You know, I think that we do this thing where, you know, in the New England games, he single-handedly lost them the game. So it's hard to, you know, I don't feel, you know, I feel like Mike White was awesome against Chicago. I think that's very obvious. I think he was pretty good, you know, against Minnesota. Obviously, it wasn't great, and then was solid yesterday. I don't think he was special, but I think he gives them the best chance to win. I want to kind of, you know, I guess I want to kind of get moved towards, you know, the next 4 weeks, right? You know, Jets are 7-6 as currently, you know, stands before this comes out. New England is not playing until 8 o'clock, but the Jets are either going to be the 8 or the 9 seed, you know, as of tomorrow morning. That said, they control their own destiny. It feels like they play Miami again. You know, Miami plays New England again. Miami also plays Buffalo on Saturday night. That's going to be certainly something. Miami plays Green Bay in prime time. Miami plays, you know, they've got a tough schedule. Obviously, the Jets, the Chargers play the Titans and a few other teams in division rivals. You never know what could happen in those games. New England obviously has Arizona, Vegas, and then Buffalo and Miami. Again, Jets have probably the softest schedule outside of the Chargers remaining.
Right.
What do you think happens? You feel confident they make the playoffs still, or are you starting to get a little worried with some of these losses kind of piling up?
I still feel good about our playoff chances. I know we've seen some collapses in the past, 2008, 2011, and then we've been in the drought forever, but I don't think it was ever going to be easy. I think every single playoff run in the recent history, even 2009, a lot of great things had to happen for the Jets to be able to get in there. And I don't even think 2010, they really clinched until really the last couple of weeks of the season. So again, we're going to need a little bit of help to make sure that we get some space, especially with New England. But I think their schedule balances out differently than ours. The Jets have some winnable games here, and I do think they're a better team than the Lions, the Jags. I think they're better than Seattle, and I think Miami right now, it could be a toss-up, especially if Miami continues to keep sliding like they did. Because I mean, Tua looked horrible yesterday. So, I mean, something about the, you know, San Francisco or the Chargers must have did something to the Dolphins' offense that maybe something's been figured out with that. But I think we're going to be fine. Lions are surging, but anytime they've played a team that has a really solid defense, they've really struggled. New England absolutely dismantled them and made them look really silly. I think Nania put out that they're a lot of the teams down the stretch are heavily reliant on offense and not defense. And the Jets defense is always going to give them a chance. And if, of course, these teams aren't great defensively, I think we have a good shot, you know, so I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think 3-1 definitely gets you in. 4-0 obviously guarantees it. 2-2 would be pushing it. You need a lot of luck because of some of the tiebreakers. But, man, I just don't see why they can't get to 3-1. I'm going to get greedy. I don't know why they can't win all four of these games. You know,
I agree.
You know, maybe it's the week one of Seattle. You can't lose either of these games. They're must-win games at home. And I know this got pointed out by Connor and Joe on Badlands, but – these are playoff atmospheres for the next 4 weeks. And, you know, they played in it the last 2 weeks. This is huge for a young team that has, you know, is trying to learn how to win. And you just would like to see, you know, they came up just a little short these last two. Can they close the door in these next two games, get themselves to 9-6, feeling good about, can we win at least, you know, can we at least win one of these two, you know, to get in? So I'm on the same page as you. I don't necessarily see the doom and gloom. You know, here, two quick questions before we kind of wrap here.
Sure.
One, what's going on with Michael Carter? Is he just not healthy? It just feels like outside of like one or two moments in the Buffalo game and maybe Miami, he's not really had the type of year I think a lot many were expecting from him.
I think again, just the way the offense has kind of shifted, I don't think maybe he's not the greatest fit for the offense as we thought he would. I think Bam Knight and Breece Hall have similar running styles. They're more explosive. They're hitting the hole a lot quicker. Carter's a smaller, shiftier guy. I think his health has also obviously been a factor. He's been decent in the red zone for us. He's had a couple of touchdown runs. He's had some good plays. I think he's got to be utilized more as a pass catching running back and not really more of it in between the tackles and up the middle. He's just not that type of runner. And I think he could still contribute nicely for us as a blocker or as a pass catcher, but you know, running the football, can he do the job? Sure. But he even said it himself. He tried to run over, a safety there in that spot. And that's what made him dive forward and, you know, left the ball vulnerable. He didn't really have to do that.
I don't know if he'll be fine. Like a confidence thing too. Sometimes with these guys, it's like his role has been so over the place all year. Like you mentioned that, you know, maybe your confidence is shot. Mm-hmm. You want to make a play to get on the field more. You're not really healthy.
Yeah.
It's sometimes one of the most, not, I don't want to say dangerous, cause it's not fair to say that, but it's certainly, it's been a lot. How good's Garrett Wilson? Like, are we talking, guys got top 10 potential in the league? Cause he's going to probably be a 1200 yard receiver this year, which is nuts.
He'll get there. I think if we had Mike starting the whole season, or even if Zach was playing at any type of competent level down the or in the middle of that season stretch, he would have been hit 1,000 yards. I mean, the guy, I think I was joking to myself. I'm like, Trey White has probably never seen a Jet receiver this good, giving him this much work.
No chance.
I mean, he beat him on the slant, beat him on the outside. And I feel like every time we go on the field, there's not one guy on the field that can mess with Garrett Wilson. And he's a game changer. I mean, the way he was able to stop on a dime, it looked like he was moonwalking to get more yards. So he's going to be the focal point of the offense down the stretch. I'm praying that he just, again, fingers crossed, we keep the injury luck on our side with this guy. You know, Corey seems to be a bad luck thing. Elijah has started to finally get up, but Garrett's got to be the main guy every single time. And I really want to see them target him more in the red zone. I don't know why Berrios is getting some of these looks, like you said earlier. Maybe he was coming off the read, but Wilson is a guy that's an absolute threat. And I think other teams are realizing that. Maybe that's why he's not getting those targets, but we gotta look to him, and we gotta keep looking to more too, because he finally seems to have a 10 target game, and he was really seems to be a focal point of the offense.
Yeah, between the last three games, Elijah's got, you know, 10 catches, which maybe not seems like a lot, but you know, he's only got like 21 for the year. So it's like, you know, the majority of obviously, you know, his production's all been the last couple of weeks. He's starting to find his groove a little bit. Garrett Wilson's been a stud, as you mentioned. Denzel Mims had a nice day yesterday. I'd like to see him continue to ascend, and then obviously, you know, getting Corey Davis is, you know, he gets his drop or his penalty out of the way in the first quarter, and then he turns back into the guy that they, you know, they paid him. It's got to keep him on the field. I don't know. I'm curious if he'll play this week. It seems like they like his chances, but
yeah,
you know, the concussion, you never know how severe or not something is. Why don't you kind of give everyone where to find you? Obviously, you know, some of the live streams and stuff are quite entertaining. If that's something people, you know, like to watch.
Yep, I'm Justin C on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Twitter. I tried my best to be live for every single Jet game. Thankfully, my schedule's played out nicely where I can be live for this Lions game, live for the Jags, and live for the Seahawks game. And I should be good for the Miami game down the stretch and any playoff series. So we try our best to be live. We try to get content out as soon as the game is over. I do all the editing and everything myself, so it does take some time. I usually wait till the day after to post everything, kind of as like a Monday refresher, Monday recap. So I just enjoy doing what I do. Of course, I got a full-time career to manage, but this is my escape. The Jets are that release.
We enjoy our Yankees escape sometimes more, but this year at least it's been somewhat equal.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, with everything with the Yankees, I mean, with the way they played against the Astros, I was like, thank God I could finally focus on the Jets. They're doing pretty well. So I think we're in for a roller coaster season, and the end is, it was never going to be easy for this Jet team. Breaking the drought, heck, even trying to find a quarterback, not conventional, not easy. I think this team's up for the challenge, though, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow. Meigs will be on. We'll be talking a little bit more recap of this game. Looking forward to Detroit. And then, later in the week, we'll have another one. But appreciate everybody for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.